welcome to the original gentleman.
And we're back, like we said we would be.
Yes, we are.
Consistent, huh?
Excited to be here. I'm here. Martin's here.
I'm here.
Jack and Meg and Monkey are here. And last on the list is our special guest and one of bestest friends, Johnny Neal.
Listen, can we wrap this up so I can get back to Domino's for the rest of my deliveries? Because I just, you know, it was just by chance. I knocked on the door to bring the pizza. They pulled me in and said, you look familiar.
It's all right. I'll talk to your manager.
Okay. It's okay.
Okay, thanks.
And by the way, this pizza is cold. I'm not paying for it.
Oh, well.
30 minutes or less next time.
Yep.
What are these, shiitake mushrooms? I didn't ask for shiitake mushrooms.
Who would?
This is Austin. You know the answer to that question.
That's true.
Yeah, who would ask for shiitake mushrooms on anything? Why don't you just ask for... I mean, I could see if I wanted to get my boots resold, I could say, you know.
Do you really hate shiitake mushrooms?
I don't really like them much. They're a little chewy.
I just don't like mushrooms in general.
Really?
Yeah. I like the chewiness of them.
They're all.
I've tried them so many times that I just don't like them.
It's so funny to me how people don't like mushrooms. I'm like,
I love mushrooms.
Okay, because they just take on the flavors of whatever is around them. They're like tofu.
It's totally a texture thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a texture person too, and the texture of shiitakes is like...
Although I don't mind portobellos. It's the only mushroom I don't mind. Portobellos are fine.
So this week's
it's all about
theme
mushrooms.
Is mushrooms? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So this one time when I was in college, I took a bunch of mushrooms.
I was just saying, by the end of the winter, I feel like I've got mushrooms growing on my skin. It's like, God damn, with this damp, dank, dark past.
It was so beautiful yesterday, and now it's all murky and nasty.
But it's not cold. Apologies to everyone on the East Coast who are playing out and they're playing their tiny violins right now.
Yes, apologies for you who chose to live there.
Yeah,
that's just one of those weird.
They're
things.
Rubbing two sticks together to keep the internet going so they can listen to this.
Sorry.
It's okay. Man, that would suck. I'm so glad I live here now.
Right?
Oh.
Like, as much as I go, like, man, Austin is just changing and I got to move somewhere else. Oh, wait, the climate in all the cool cities is terrible. Never mind.
I'm kind of like, well, you get what you pay for, you know, like sunshine and open air. And I'm fine. I don't have any problem with Austin changing.
There aren't a huge amount of really liberal places to go in the world that are extremely warm.
No, there's not.
Just a few. Austin is one of them.
Right.
And even then, we're balanced out. There's a steadily creeping amount of, like, red coming in at the sides at all times. It's like the wall on Game of Thrones, you know?
I just think there aren't a lot of liberal places to go anymore.
Period.
Yeah, I don't think you have to qualify it with an almanac or anything.
My girlfriend's always like, we should go to Vancouver. It's super liberal up there. I was like, yes, but it's Canada. I mean, if they could arrange to make Canada and Mexico trade places,
right?
I'd be all about it.
Imagine the Mexican drug lords in Canada. Just be insane. Hey, what are you...
Well, they actually have major drug busts in Canada all the time, but they're for weed. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Which they're like,
get over themselves.
They're not kidnapping you and cutting your fingers off one at a time until you punch in your ATM code.
That's true. That's true.
I'm going to get that $300.
Yeah, why would you hold out after the first finger?
I'm like, you're only going to get so much,
right.
You know? Like,
yeah, they only let me take out $300 at a time.
Are we going to do this every day? This seems like there'd be a diminishing returns on your investment of kidnapping. So let's just even this out.
I'd make a terrible spy because, like, I would just be like, the moment the guy pulled out a knife, I'd be like, yeah, okay, here's what you want to know.
Well, it's like, look, I see where this is going. And there's no reason for all the torture. Give me a pad and a pencil, and we'll just settle this right now.
Statistically speaking, it's inevitable that I'm going to give you what you want to know, right? There'll be a point where I don't even know what's going on anymore, where I have no fingers or toes or a nose or a dick left, and then I'll, you know, why don't we just skip all that, and I'll just tell you what you want to know.
Just jump right ahead. The fact that you figured out who I am means you're a better spy than me.
I'm rewarding you with this achievement unlocked. The information you're seeking.
Do you have any openings? Because I'd make a good double agent for that matter. I really am so neutral on the political concept of
right and
wrong.
It does make you wonder if there's like a side to spycraft that says, look, we know that under torture people generally don't hold up, so just immediately go, look, I don't have any alliance to these people. Here's what you want to know, and let me be a double agent, because not actually being a double agent, but starting to feed them fake information after that might be more valuable than anything else.
Yeah. I would just say, you know what? Don't even join the Boy Scouts. Just fuck all that.
Just don't
just
join
be a free agent for the rest of your life. Yeah. Don't get hung up on things.
I joined the Boy Scouts, and I was kidnapped by the Girl Scouts, and they held me for ransom. It was awful.
Oh.
And we had...
So that was,
sounds like a dream you had.
And they brought out the feather pillows.
Where you had to change the sheets after.
Poke him with the soft pillows.
Do his hair.
Ooh, I like braids.
Ooh.
I have been forcibly braided before, but not by the Girl Scouts.
Really?
Oh, well, I used to have...
That was starting to be a fun little confession.
No, I used to have really long hair, as you've seen in pictures. And, there are always those girls like, ooh, let me braid your hair. You're like, okay. Because 2 seconds after you leave, it's coming undone. But I guess if it makes you happy.
Wow.
Wow. You guys never had long hair either one?
I had long hair, but I had a ponytail. I had long hair because I couldn't afford a haircut, but that was another story.
My whole thing was like, haircuts are stupid. I was like, why would I pay somebody to do that when either just having long hair or just having a shaved head both look great, and I can do both those on my own?
Yeah, it was one of those things where it was like my hair was long enough to pull back in a ponytail, and then it was like, problem solved for like a year. And then it was...
Wow,
then,
you Steven Seagal'd it for a year.
Well, I mean, it was the 90s. They were crazy times.
Yeah, everybody
was in the Army for 7 years, you know? It's kind of like, hey, I'm not getting a haircut again
it's
ever.
The long ponytail, I feel like anything ponytail over 8 inches is fine. Like, that's okay. There's nothing weird about that. But when you get under that, you start getting that 4 and 6 inch one, then that's the Seagal.
The little man bun.
Yeah, you're like, oh, stop it. It's like, but if you, unfortunately, at that length, if you leave it down, you look like Emo Phillips. So, you know, it's a no-win situation.
Well, especially when your hair is receding, you see the guy with the long hair.
And he's
got the little hair cape going on in the back. You know, that's always
the greatest. You see the guys who are just almost completely bald, but they're still rocking the long ponytail. It's like, man, you just won't let that dream go, will you?
I mean, that's like having a bunch of deadhead stickers on your car and complaining about getting pulled over. Because if you got a bald head and a ponytail, you're just asking to be arrested for holding. You know, you just know that that guy's just oblivious to the nature of looking suspicious.
Because you don't still keep doing what you're doing in your past your 40s unless you're the guy supplying the younger kids with their stuff.
Just so you can hang out with younger kids.
Right.
Which is even its own weird, creepy pedophilia.
Dude, I had the funniest thing yesterday driving around. I don't even remember what podcast was on, but somebody was like, man, sometimes I wish I could be an Asian guy. So that way, the way I'm constantly checking out Asian girls wouldn't seem so creepy.
It was Jim, Jim Gaffigan. I heard it yesterday, too.
I was like, yeah. I know what that's like.
Yeah. Then my Asian woman fetish wouldn't be so creepy.
So, that being said, we're all old and creepy.
Yeah. You know, at some point, you're just creepy by default.
I reject that notion.
Yeah, you would.
I'm sorry. But the idea is because you reach a certain age and you do things like, oh, it's so creepy. It's like, what?
Right.
I'm doing everything that you're doing. What's the big deal?
Right. No, I tend to agree with Martin on that. I think, though, that there's a different type of appreciation that comes in with the when you're looking at the younger girls or what have you. You go like, there's no situation in which I would think it would be even worth my time to pursue that, but you can still admire it.
I mean, you know,
have your little fantasy for 3 seconds and then move on with your life.
But we've reached a point where everybody is so quick to want to throw in, calling, labeling somebody something, especially with creepy. Like, this is creepy. He was acting creepy.
Well, especially as a man, you can't do anything.
If you saw a girl and you complimented her shoes, like, hey, those are really nice. Those are really cool shoes. I've never seen anything like that before. There's somebody there who you've never seen, you didn't even know they were in the room, to come out going like, well, that was a really creepy thing to say. Like, what?
Actually, I think shoes might be the one exception.
Shoes, a dress,
I like
whatever.
Shoes, though. Yeah. I admire good taste in shoes.
I've discovered that, like, if you're trying to break the ice in any sort of even formal situation, if you admire what a woman's wearing for footwear, they will immediately warm up to you.
Yeah,
immediately. That's like the one, and they will. But unfortunately, so
because
they won't
you're
shut
creepy,
up about it.
you're creepy, and you have figured out the end. That's different. That's not actual admiration. That's I just want to break the ice with this hot young thing.
Well, no, I mean sometimes it's just like you're forced to like I get do a lot of panel type stuff, and sometimes you're forced to talk with people for a couple hours that you've never met before.
Right.
And you're like, okay, that's a good way to get them where they're like, all right, you've broken the ice between them, so it's like it's not so uncomfortable there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Especially
now,
if
my
you
secret
know.
Is out. Yeah. Especially if they're Asian.
So are your feet banded?
The secret is
so you have tiny little banded feet.
The secret is not to be staring at their boobs when you say it.
Hey, shoes are down here, pal.
I do like a nice pair of footwear, though.
I do, too.
Yeah,
I
nothing mean, wrong with that. Yeah. Although I still am baffled at the whole appeal of the stiletto heels and giant heels. I'm just, all I can think is, ow. When I see
all I can think is, how much did you pay per ounce for those? That's kind of my, where's the structure cost? What is the label? You know, when you, like, remember Sex in the City? She's like, my shoes cost $600.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where was the $600?
I
don't get that.
It's just all in branding and fashion, like, the way that works with almost everything. With purses, you see, one purse looks exactly like the other purse, and this one is $1,000, and that one is $20. Why? Because this one is actually Gucci, and that one is Fucci or whatever. You know, you're like,
Gucci.
Gucci.
Gucci. I'm like, okay, if you say so, if that makes you happy.
Right, right.
I don't expect me to be sympathetic about it when you're upset for some reason. Oh my God, I can't believe I spilled red wine on my thumb. I don't care. I don't care. You can go to Target and get a replacement for $20 right now. It's not Gucci. And? It's not like you were waiting for the resale value to go up.
Right, right. It's not an investment.
Yeah.
It's a purchase. That's what always gets me about people spending money on anything. Oh, it's an investment. Really? Let's see what the Buffalo exchange rate is on that.
You know what investments are? Seriously buying stuff for investments are people who are already millionaires who can buy things
right.
that are like $400,000 works of art. That's an investment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shelling out $60 for an issue of Captain America is not an investment.
People had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah.
And I think the lesson went universal. There's people who still believe, like, no, this will put my kids through college.
And you have
not even community college.
The truth of the matter is you have no idea. I mean, when Walking Dead first came out,
mm-hmm.
there's absolutely no one who thought that, like, six,
this
7 years down
up.
The
yeah.
road, the first issue was going to be worth $1,000. There's no way of knowing, and it happens to 0.00001% of the comics that come out.
Sure.
So if you're collecting for value, your great-great-grandkids might thank you, but...
Yeah, but, you know, the flip side of that is that it's a very volatile market.
Yeah.
And that, what is that Walking Dead number one going to be worth in 10 years?
Yeah.
You know, right now, it's a hot investment. In 10 years, it's going to be played out.
And yeah, once the show's over and everyone's like, I'm so sick of zombies, then the value drops.
I collect movie posters, not as much anymore, but I've watched the market for the last several years, and, like, Star Wars original one-sheets were, you know, several hundred dollars. And then when the fourth start, whatever the prequels started, they went down in value. Like, people were like, I don't really even want to be associated
now,
with
they're
this
they're probably
anymore.
Back up again now.
They're up, but they're not where they used to be.
Right. There's
still a wait and see.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also the internet. So that now nothing is a holy grail anymore.
It's true.
Oh, I want to get the holy grail. I want to go on eBay. Oh, look, holy grails. Dime a dozen.
What do you guys...
Man, you're so right about that.
Yeah.
Like, everything that used to be that treasure that was hard to find.
Yeah.
Now you can just go to the internet and find it. And you know what? if you can't find it, while you're looking, you'll see something similar that'll attract your eye. It's like, oh, well, heaven, this will be just as good. And what was that thing I was looking for to begin with? Okay, never mind. This other thing is cooler.
I mean, I think the only stuff I'm ever interested in all is just purely based on nostalgia value of like, oh, I had that when I was a kid. I had such warm feelings about it. If I found one for cheap, I would totally pick that up just because memories. Right.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw the other day someone posted a picture of the $6 million man Sasquatch figure.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I would totally buy that.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't spend $100 on it. You know, I'd spend like $30 on it. I know.
I've even gotten past that point where I've done that enough to where like I can work out in my head like, yes, I'll pay the money, I'll be happy, it'll come, I'll open it, I'll see it, and then what?
And then my cats will destroy it.
And then it'll be just another thing that I will
eventually box up and put in the garage or drop off at Goodwill just to clear it out of my house.
Right. Well, I had a very positive collector experience. I bought a one sheet for Bullet, a folded one sheet for Steve McQueen's Bullet for $10 at an Austin collector show. And I just sold it last month for
$585. Whoa, dude.
Posters. Yeah, that was a good
The dream
score.
Can happen.
Yeah.
And you know what? The thing is that I had held on to it, and then I've hit this point where I don't want to decorate my house with movie posters, you know? So it was like, what am I going to do with this anymore? I want somebody who will love this as much as I still do, but don't need to have it to prove my love to it.
Right, right.
So it's like, wow, somebody really loved that goddamn thing because they paid $585 for it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good return on investment.
Yeah, no kidding.
Whereas there's other stuff that I've bought and then I've just mailed off and they're like, can we put these in a bulk auction? We know you have a weird hang-up about Charles Bronson movies, but for some reason, he's just not collectible. You know?
I hate to tell you, but the mechanic went down in value after Jason Statham.
Like, how can people not love Charles Bronson? It's like, they just don't.
They have never seen Once Upon a Time in the West.
Exactly, clearly. Exactly. And actually, That's a pretty high dollar item because of a lot of things.
Well, yeah, it's Sergio Leone, one of his very best. It's probably my favorite Sergio Leone.
Henry Fonda as a villain.
Yeah, one of the few times that Henry Fonda ever played a villain.
Yeah.
Jack Elam, Woody Strode.
Well, that's a western. It's like saying Jack Elam. Jack Elam's in a western.
Jack Elam is in a Sergio Leone western. Is what makes it so cool.
True.
Oh, it's funny. Support Your Local Sheriff was on yesterday, and I wasn't able to sit down and really watch it all, but just catching little bits with Jim Garner and Jack Elam, and even Bruce Dern. Like the scene I was watching. Looking at Jack Elam, I was like, man. He was so Michael Shannon of his day.
Those
eyes are exactly the same, just big and puggish, and one looking the other direction.
Yeah,
well, I never thought of that. That's great. Michael Shannon of his day.
Even with all those westerns, I still picture him. The first thing that comes to mind is him sitting in the back of that fucking ambulance, man, in Cannonball Run. First thing that pops in my head. Oh, I gotta treat her.
And what's so funny about all those old western guys is that you think, well, so did he live on a ranch, you know? Like, did John Wayne ride a horse all day? And, you know, and you see their house, and it's, like, beautifully appointed leather upholstery and modern furniture and everything. There's no, like, you know, I love me wall of their own cowboy shit. They were just actors.
Right.
They were
interesting piece of trivia. John Wayne hated horses.
Oh, wow.
Hated them.
Is that
he was
right?
a pretty good horseman, though.
Yeah. Well, you learn, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, he could make a horse but back up, which is advanced equestrian.
He was not a fan of horses in general, though. So.
Well, he was a big dude. It's like, you know, that's... Plus, the horse...
Settle down, Marion.
That's funny. He never changed his name to John Wayne, either.
He didn't?
No. Yeah. He signed his name. He went by Duke Morrison, is how his friends called him, Duke Morrison.
Okay.
And he signed his name, Marion Morrison.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I always thought that was interesting. He never bought into his own shit. Mm. As much of a super Republican guy and all that,
right.
He never bought into his own
shit. Still thought it was all kind of silly.
Yeah. Yeah. He never said, no, I'm John Wayne, goddammit. Unless it was to promote a movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I admit, I probably, if I'd been John Wayne, I would have bought into it.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be hard not
imagine?
To.
Yeah.
Everybody else bought into it. Why wouldn't he? You know, that's kind of... one of those things.
Well, why don't you come suck my dick, Pilgrim?
How about you meet the Duke?
I haven't heard anybody do a John Wayne impression in a long time.
Well, that's true, right?
So I have to say that's the best one I've heard in years.
Well, because no one else is doing it. Right.
But it used to be you couldn't swing a dead cat without somebody doing it.
Oh, true. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. And they all just did the same one.
Yeah.
They were all like John Biner or, you know, they all did the same impression.
Yeah, or Rich Little is the same Little. One.
You read there was an interesting thing that's been going on in comedy lately where they've been tracking impressions to the people who originally became famous with those impressions.
And oh,
saying
funny.
That most people who are doing impressions of people are not doing impressions of those people.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing impressions of the original.
No, no. Everybody does Dana Carvey's President Bush or Will Ferrell's President Bush.
Right, right. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. They were talking about how, like, okay, you can track specifically per each thing where it came from. And then you try and compare to the actual person. You're like, I don't really sound like
everybody
that.
Does Dan Aykroyd's Nixon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't really sound like Nixon.
No.
But you get it. I mean, because that's the weird thing, too, about impressions, is that you don't even notice the way somebody talks until you hear somebody else do it.
Uh-huh.
Like Christopher Walken, I never quite, gathered. I just never thought, oh, Christopher Walken has these weird mannerisms. I just thought, well, he's Christopher Walken. And then you hear Kevin Spacey or Jay Moore do Christopher Walken, and you're like, oh, he does do that. Suddenly it's a formula that you can kind of steal badly, which most people do steal them badly. Or, Borat or, whatever. It's just like that, it never works once you've broken it down to stealing a joke, once it's... Because it's a joke when you're doing the first impression, and then you're stealing that joke. So, it's never quite as good as the first guys who nail it.
That's true. You're right.
I mean, the only purpose of doing impressions, if you're not an impressionist comic, is to make another joke work in the context of that joke that would have to be John Wayne saying it, like we just did. If you're going like, hey, here's my series of impressions. I wouldn't do that. Because I'm terrible at impressions, mainly.
But your Duke was not bad.
Yeah, well, I've been hearing it since I was three, so.
You do a pretty good date rape John Wayne.
John Wayne, yeah.
That sounds like a great character you can just run with.
Or a comic strip series. Date rape John Wayne. So let me ask you guys, a little off topic here, what do you guys think about the new Star Wars stuff, everything we're hearing with the new film? I mean, are you as cautiously jaded as I am after the prequels? And just also, I'm more of a Trek guy and always have been, so I'm a little bit like, hey, that's going to be great if it's terrific, but I don't know if it's going to appeal to me the same way as everybody else.
I haven't heard a whole lot. I'm not that invested. I'm cautiously... Wait, what was that word?
Cautiously optimistic?
No, I'm...
Cautiously jaded.
I'm cautiously jaded, not because of the prequels, just because of the property itself.
Yeah.
Like I said, Star Wars, it had its heyday, and I felt like people have just built it and made it go on way longer than it should have.
Yeah, they damaged it by investing too much in it, I think. Like, it was a simple little fairy tale that was of its time, and was lovely and wonderful for its time, but... I think people took a fairy tale and invested so much into it that it just didn't have the legs to support. Its original context doesn't feel like it supports a giant wide universe. It's so simple. Whereas that's why I always like Trek better, because it was set up from the beginning to say, like, no, this is a giant universe with all this stuff and political stuff and all these things, and yes, you want to see it expand. With Star Wars, it was always like, and fans are that way, like, oh, it's something new? I don't know if I like it. I just want to see Han Solo do something cool.
I saw the original Star Wars when I was in ninth grade. It came out when I was in ninth grade, and I loved it.
Yeah,
and I loved it, even though in ninth grade I didn't know about deconstruction and all that. And to me, that movie worked perfectly as a deconstruction of 1,000 myths that I got just because I got.
Yeah.
I didn't need to know. I didn't want to know anything further.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they made the second one, and it was, I'm your father, I'm like, I don't want to know who you are, It just kind of was like investing stuff in people that were archetypes Everybody was an archetype, and they decided to make them go from archetypes to characters. And then they just were making it up as they went along, and it never held water. I saw the third one in German, and it was like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I just went to see the show, you know. And then when
probably
I saw
wasn't
it in,
that hard to figure out.
Exactly. And yeah. Then when I saw it in English years later, I was like, I really don't give a shit about any of this anymore. You know, to me, the movie Star Wars is a great, perfect little movie. And everything after it has just been a cash-in on that. Because none of it is worthy of the sense that people apply to it. It's the Bible, you know?
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's all these people read into it. And I just think, wow, you can be a scholar or you can be an artist, but you can't be both. You're not going to make a goddamn science fiction epic if all you give a shit about is the details of Star Wars.
Right.
So if that's what you want to do is study it, know that you're really wasting your time.
I've read and experienced so much great science fiction that's out there. Most of the people I know really into Star Wars have barely touched other science fiction. Like, who've never sat down and read the Foundation series.
Well, it's not science fiction.
Like, what are you...
No, it's not.
It's just the... It's science fiction as furniture. You know? I mean, and that's the whole thing. That was the whole thing. It could have worked... Star Wars, the story in Star Wars could have been a samurai epic, which it was originally.
Right.
Could have been a Western. Could have been a King Arthur thing. They just decided to put it in a science fiction universe.
Yeah.
And that's what made it fun and new... But that also is like, that doesn't make it science fiction, mm-hmm. You know? The science doesn't affect what happens in any of it, you know? Unlike Star Trek, which the science does affect everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to get off on a Star Trek versus Star Wars.
But I still
love Star Trek.
Bizarre to the degree that they were just spitballing when they came up with a lot of the science on Star Trek. Like, they weren't scientists coming up with the stuff. They're making it up. And now scientists are actually developing the shit from Star Trek. And it's like, oh, how did that happen?
Well, there's been a big push from scientists to talk to science fiction writers to say, guys, could you be a little bit more optimistic about the future? Because we kind of depend on you to give us ideas on new stuff to invent.
Right.
And everything's been all doom and doom, post-apocalyptic, you know, future. You're not giving us anything.
Right? Yeah, let's see that world where everything, you know, everything's going to be okay because we developed this technology. But people, I think the default reaction to new technology from people is, it's going to destroy us all.
Yeah.
That hasn't actually happened, so I don't know why people keep thinking that.
What it used to be with the movies from the 70s was all about... How science and technology, we were going to get ahead of ourselves and destroy ourselves.
Yeah, we can't be God.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, man, these are things you got to watch out for. But they're doing that now, and it's kind of like, hey, calm the fuck down, because technology is working out well for us. Don't make people scared of stem cell research and all this.
And
talk about people playing
Large
God.
Hadron Collider, which apparently that whole black hole and the universe thing was total bullshit.
Yeah, of course.
It was just some journalist picked up like someone else joking about it, and it turned into the whole thing where even like magazines like Discover were writing stories about it, and it was like, no! Why are you spreading paranoia about science? Stop it.
It does seem like maybe that is why people are so afraid of science.
Yeah.
Like anti-vaccination and shit like that is like dystopian political weirdness.
It's everywhere. We're constantly bombarded with it.
There's this anti-reaction that goes, oh, well, you can't trust scientists.
Right.
Because they're all in on it together, paid by the man. And it's this level of insanity there's no return argument for, because they've already bought into that as a concept. There's like, you would have to go and personally introduce them to all the scientists to break them out of this. Like that, I don't even know how to tell you how crazy that is. So where you're assuming that there's a conspiracy that far reaching that 98% of the world's scientists get together and go, hey, we're going to tell them about global warming. We're all being paid well to lie together.
What end?
And the guy
to develop clean fuel, you know, like, well, to take away your jobs? What jobs are being taken away by science?
I did laugh that one of the big anti-GMO advocates, the guy who made that movie Food Incorporated, has a new movie coming out that is about science paid for by corporations. And it's specifically about like oil and tobacco. Because yes, there are always going to be some people who are just on the, you know, like who are scientists, quote, who are paid for a corporation to say what they want them to say. Yes, they have never been people in the majority ever. And that is true with oil and tobacco. Yes, they've got a few scientists who go, no, it's totally this. It's fine. It's totally safe. But the grand majority are against it. And I did laugh to notice that he was not discussing GMOs in our documentary because you're not going to find the majority of scientists who are like saying like, no, who are like being paid for by the big GMO companies. Because like, no, really, there isn't any evidence that this stuff is bad. It's a lot of false conjecture.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's a...
Science silence in the room.
No, I don't know. I don't.
I mean, when you start getting into real specifics about science, I'm very much like it's like specifics about religion or anything else that I just have to take somebody else's word for it.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist, but you can back off anyway.
I don't even play one on TV. I don't even comment on their boards. You know.
Yeah.
but it all comes back to like public relations, you know. It's all just who gets paid the most to talk the loudest, and you don't even have to have a credible reference,
right?
You know, like as to what's right or wrong, because it's so difficult to prove something doesn't happen. You know, it's
right.
It's prove a negative.
Yeah, and that's where so many things start from. You know, that so many weird random. I mean, of all the people in the world to have caused a anti-vaccination crusade would be Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah.
For God's sake, why would anybody give a shit what she thinks about anything?
The one who brought it to the public attention, where housewives started like going, "What? You're like, look." She's an actress, and not
is
a very
she?
Good one.
She's not even an actress.
Yeah, she's not even an actress. Yeah.
She's like, I don't know what
it's more
the hell
a personality.
She is. She's a person. Yeah, it's like if the Kardashians. She was like a pre-Kardashian type.
You know, Jenny McCarthy, I don't want to bring down your achievements, but Carmen Electra was the best single out co-host of all time.
And I mean, you know, if I was her kid, I'm going to just steal a joke here. If I was her kid and Jim Carrey was my hang-around stepdad figure,
yeah,
I'd fucking shut down like an autistic. It would be like, dude, leave me alone. I'm just going to stare at this doorknob and try and mentally will you to turn it and go the fuck out of my house. I mean, I don't think it was the vaccinations. I think it was Jim Carrey inundation.
Jim Carrey can lead to autism.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Oh, it's contagious.
Dumb and Dumber 2 definitely can lead to autism.
That is so mean.
To who?
To Jim Carrey.
Oh, fuck him. He's mean to me.
Yeah, he's crying himself to sleep on his bed of money.
Just because he's rich doesn't mean he doesn't have feelings.
Yeah, just because he's rich doesn't mean he's funny.
And he's such a big fan of all our podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
I know. Someday one of the celebrities we're talking shit about will actually be listening to one podcast. They'll be like, that wasn't very nice.
Yeah, I was a big supporter of you guys until
Daryl.
Now.
Dude, that'd be the best thing that could happen is like a huge celebrity that has questionable worth in the public eye coming out with an angry tirade against our site. That would, like, our numbers would go through the roof.
Yeah. How can we get that done?
Right?
How can we?
Who can we piss off that everybody doesn't like that much? What's Andy Dick doing?
Nothing.
Nothing that would help us at
What's
all.
What's Pauly Shore doing? All right, well, guys, we're going to take a break here so you can listen to Martin and I hanging out at Staple with Jason Murphy and Allison Murphy.